as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this passage, for what you call us to be and who you call us to be. I pray that you would prepare our hearts and our minds, that you would open them, Lord, to hear what you want to tell us. I pray that you would equip and strengthen Alex as he gives us the sermon today. Help us to be active listeners, Lord, to take these words and to be able to apply them to our everyday lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing us here today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good to see you. Good to be here at Church of Life again. Have been a while, I think half a year or so. Let's open our Bibles. You've heard the text, and we start with verse 17. And the ESV translates the first words like, "Now this I say." But the New King James translates it, "Therefore." And I think it's an accurate translation, because this whole passage in chapter 4 flows from the whole three chapters before that in Ephesians. The central idea here in Ephesians is that the whole Christian life flows from being in Christ. In Christ is where grace empowers us, where faith receives, and where the new life becomes visible and shows holiness and love and forgiveness and hope and endurance and patience and all these things. And today, we see in this passage, we see this flow of grace from God through faith to others, right? This is the flow of the passage. We receive grace from God through faith, and it flows to others. So first, grace transforms our hearts, and we receive it by just saying, "Yes, I trust you, Lord." And then our transformed lives produce grace to others, right? We receive grace, we give grace. And the whole thing, well, it's really important that it is all about our identity, that we are in Christ. That's the foundation of it all. As Ephesians 1 and 2 really elaborate a lot, Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. This is where we receive all the grace from the sea of grace God has for us. And then in chapter 2, Paul elaborates more, like the spiritual blessings in Christ, election, redemption, adoption, forgiveness, the sealing of the Spirit, then our position in Christ as the source of new life. And then in Christ we are a workmanship created for good works. And now this passage. And when we think about that, about this reality in Christ, what have we done to be able to be in Christ? What do we need to do to be able to be in Christ? Nothing. Just believe and receive. For by grace you have been saved through faith, Paul says, in chapter 1. And because we are in Christ and we receive that grace, the old way doesn't define us anymore. And that's what this passage is about. I love the two words in verse 17, no longer. He says, now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. So when Paul speaks about Gentiles here, he means people who don't know Jesus, right? He doesn't mean like as opposite to Jews. He means people who don't believe, whose life is apart from God. They are lost and they cannot have anything but futility in their mind. So I have a couple of examples from you. I Googled like weird newspaper articles, okay? In Morristown, October 12th, a man to wear a record-breaking amount of 300 underpants. Speak about futility. I love it. Another thing, like about beauty, life snail facials. Snails literally crawl over your face so their mucin can smooth and calm your skin. Sounds futile. And you need to be callous to endure it. And then another thing that's really sad. So this is a new, well, not so new trend, but for some years now, Snapchat, Instagram filter look surgeries. Like people, girls mainly, they get real plastic surgery to look like the Snapchat or Instagram filters. Yeah. That's crazy, isn't it? Like fuel. Yeah. And this is a name for it. They've coined a name for it already. It's called Snapchat dysmorphia. Well, that's the world. And it's surely enough, that's the extremes, right? A couple of more extremes, but this is the principle is at work in every single person in the world. And the reason why people without God do this is because God has originally made them for Him, and something is not there that belongs into their hearts. They're empty. They cannot have a healthy perspective on eternal things and their purpose of knowing God and worshiping God. It's not possible. So they have to fill it with something else. But God created us that way, so we glorify Him. That's our purpose as human beings. And when you look at the words Paul uses for this situation people are in, it sounds, I think it sounds really cruel. Right? The futility of their minds creates things like darkened understanding, alienation, callousness, and so on and so on. And I think when I read these words, you know, I don't know what you associate with that. I think of Lord of the Rings, of a special character, when I read these words. You probably know which one I mean. The Gollum, right, of the Lord of the Rings. This poor thing, you know, used to be some, like a human kind of a thing, chasing the thing that destroys him, right, and calls it his precious, right? That's the result of the futility of the mind, how Paul describes it here. And we see this in daily life. Like, they've given themselves over is the terminology in verse 19. Like, giving themselves over to all kinds of bad things, like drugs and alcohol and sex and all kinds of things that make them fall, right? Fall away from the glory of God. And we see this all around us. And you may not drink, take drugs, or get addicted to TV series, or get stuck in every kind of impurity, but haven't we all experienced that? One way or another, and it's really cruel and evil. It is. Because we long after the things, our flesh gets attracted to the things that ultimately destroy us, make us more empty, make us feel more lost. And then we sin in every kind of sin and impurity. Where does this inclination come from, to waste our lives? It's really sad. It comes, as our text says, from the limitation of our broken mind, which does not understand God. We are alienated from God. We are in the darkness. And what do we need? Yeah, we actually would need to hear the word of God, right? We need to hear the word of God that changes us. But we can't understand it from us, from ourselves. Our text says this: you have not learned this Christ. If we learn Christ, as it says here, not about Christ, but learn Christ, then our life changes. So this path of Christ is to put off our old self, as the text says, and give Jesus his way in our life. And this is not only knowledge about Christ. When it says learn Christ, it doesn't say learn about Christ, learn all kinds of theology. It means learn Christ, get to know Jesus. And this is the way where it starts. This kind of knowledge of a person that you can only get if you spend time, intimate time together. You listen. And when you listen with your heart, right? When you accept what you hear. And then, if we do that, if we accept Christ as he is, then the encouraging words are for us. No longer. Great words. No longer. This is not us. No longer. You have been set free from this old world nature of yours. Your mind is not lost in futility anymore. Your understanding is not darkened anymore, because you have the light. Your heart is a new heart. It's not a hard heart. It's a heart that knows Christ. Consequently, your outcome will be a completely different outcome, of course. Not the things that we've read here. All kinds of impurity and so on. Love, peace, patience, and so on. The fruit of the Spirit. This new mind of Christ is yours. That's the promise here. No longer. And it is. Why is it? Because we've done anything to receive it or to earn it? Is this our discipline, our self-control? No. By grace you have been saved through faith. this emptiness of mankind, actually, I think, and the Bible says, is the invitation. It's the invitation to Christ, to fullness of life. It's the empty spot in our heart that longs to meet the real God, God who is alive. And in Christ, all our life is transformed and we stand in freedom. Faith responds by letting go of the old man, of the old flesh, and saying with Jesus, no longer. That's not me, no longer anymore. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. If we learned about the gospel and about Jesus and learned him, we can do the thing that's the main part or the main sentence in our passage here in chapter 4, verse 23. To be renewed. To be renewed in the spirit of your minds. This process of renewal is a thing that goes more and more. You be being renewed. And it's a passive term in here, right? It's not something we do. The renewing happens through the Holy Spirit in us. Being in Jesus and learning him leads to being transformed. The only thing we do is we let go. We don't hold on to the old nature. Yeah, it's a sad thing to be set free and holding on to the old nature. It's like I've read a picture about that. It's like a prisoner who have been incarcerated for a long time and now gets set free, walks out of the prison doors and refuses to take off his prison clothes for the whole time and runs around with his prison clothes, right? That's a sad thing if we hold on to our old nature, if we try to find fulfillment in these things that used to be us, but is not no longer us. It's no longer. Instead, we should live the free life, the life in Jesus. And this process of letting go of the old man, being renewed, and putting on the new man, as our text says, we find the same process described in many places in the New Testament. We find it in Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God, what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So it's the same process here. Do not be conformed, but let yourself be renewed. And then in Colossians, I have to put together two verses, verse 5 and verse 10 of chapter 3. It says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And then verse 10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of his creator. So what's actually happening in this process is we let go of the old because we're not attached to it anymore. And God renews us to his image, the way we were created before the fall. God renews us as a process, step by step, more and more into his image. And it's obvious. This is not by my own power. I cannot transform myself. Believe me, I tried many times. It's all his power, right? It's my agreement, but his power. It's all by grace. And in Ephesians we read, it's the power, it's not some power, it's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the Holy Spirit who does it. So what can we do about that? So what is the letting go mean? What does it mean for us? If we put our minds away from our usual inclination to conform to this world, right? We need to turn away from that. We have to, instead of conforming ourselves to the world, we have to be willing to be transformed in something else. We also have to lay down the ignorance that comes with our natural minds of God, right? We need to learn discernment, we need to learn the word, and we need to learn obedience. But this is not something we have to do out of our own strength. We have to do it just by agreeing with God. That's the whole thing. We have to lay down pride and have to put on humility, be able to be corrected by God. And one thing that is really bugging us down is our need for immediate gratification. We need some gratification for, like, I did something, I worked hard, now I get to drink two beers, or something like that. We need to lay this down. We have to find our joy in God. So faith welcomes this renewal, this change of perspective, and says yes to the Spirit. And then grace flows. Titus 3 verse 5 says, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So what can we do for the change? Mainly nothing, except for changing our perspective and letting God work. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And then Paul goes on, beginning with verse 24, listing like all the signs that will show up when you let God do this work of renewal. Then your outward appearance, your behavior will change. And he starts with truth and integrity. He says, you speak the truth because you're members of each other. And this is a very important thing. Grace empowers honesty because we do not have to bend the world so we get what we need, but we can trust God by faith that He will give us what we need, that He knows better what we need than we even know, and just we let it go and we speak the truth rather than manipulating people or deceiving or whatever else. And in a world like ours, full of spin and fake news and weirdness, this is an exception. A Christian who speaks the truth is a blessing to the world. And she gives us perspective and courage and seeks after God and brings hope to everywhere she goes. The very hope of the gospel. Culturally speaking, why is it that Christian countries thrive economically, usually? I think honesty has a lot to do with it. So think of the following thing. A shop owner doesn't trust his customers to be honest. So what does he do? He, instead of having open shelves, installs glass cases with locks, security tags, cameras, mirrors, alarms, extra stuff. It doesn't add to the product's value, right? But it makes the products more expensive because he needs personnel, installs all the stuff, and so on. And because he doesn't trust the security team, he probably gets someone who controls the security team. And because he, you know, you can go on like this. In a society where honesty is not an important value, is a society where everything is more expensive. It's a really simple story, but it illustrates what's happening without your honesty. I think honesty is a very important Christian value, and it shows how Jesus impacts like the whole society for the better. Another thing Paul mentions is anger and peace. So anger is natural, it's something that happens, but faith enables us to let go of our anger, to release resentment, and to reconcile with our, for example, spouse or brother quickly. For me, you know, when I look at these verses, don't let the sun go down with your anger, over your anger, I thought when I read it about watching TV news before I go to bed, it's not a good thing. I'm always angry when I watch news. I shouldn't do that anymore. But I mean, the same thing is true for workplace and family. You get angry in certain situations and you should be willing to reconcile right away and not wait to another day. And we should speak words that build up, words that reflect Jesus, that edify. It's also something we see in our world done totally differently, right? We see social media with gossip and people who do harm to each other. And that's not the way we should live. Kindness, compassion, forgiveness should mark us instead. So then we go into this really beautiful verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Lord, when he left this earth, he said, it is so important that I leave so you can receive the Holy Spirit. Why? He redeemed us from this world, out of this world. He gave his life for our reconciliation with the Father. And we were part of this world, but he saved us out of this world. We're not part of this world anymore. And this is why the world hates us. This is why the world hates us, because we're not part of this world anymore. And in a world like this, where we, well, hate it, and a world that is full of challenges for us, we need protection, and we need empowerment to live like heaven. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians in chapter 1 tells us about the seal of the Spirit. It's the first time he mentioned this, Paul, in Ephesians. And it speaks about this seal of the Holy Spirit, about a promise and a guarantee of the inheritance of our redemption. It's like three words that says, it's really secure. Three words, like the promise and guarantee of our inheritance. Inheritance is something you guaranteely get, right? It's already there. You can see it, like it only belongs to your dad still. Yeah. It's a promise and guarantee of the inheritance of our redemption. We are pretty safe, I would say. That's the seal, something that is sure. And it tells us that Jesus will hold us and keep us and carry us through this world to the end. And he keeps us safe. And at the end, I want to finish strong. I want to finish strong. I want to go my whole life and finish strong. And the Holy Spirit promised this to me. And it also speaks about we are a purchased possession of Christ. It's like a horse you brand with a brand. We belong to Jesus. No one else can say the devil doesn't have any right with us anymore. We wholly belong to Jesus because Jesus bought us. We have this seal, this brand on us. We belong to him. And it speaks about empowering for the purpose we are changed. This Spirit who connects us to Jesus, who enables us to live a strong Christian life, a holy life, a purposeful life, he can be grieved. And what does Paul mean here? The Holy Spirit can be grieved if we don't take our freedom. If we live like the world, and well, I wrote something down and it's pretty hard, but if we don't take our freedom, we mock our redemption and consequently our Redeemer. We have to take our freedom. And the Holy Spirit can be grieved if we try by our own strength instead of his strength. This grieves him. Say, why do you try in your own strength? You will fail. I am here. He can be grieved by that. And actually, he's grieved when we don't take the grace of God in the center of our life. We live by grace and by grace alone. And the Holy Spirit is the one who administers this grace. For by grace we have been saved through faith. If we step out of grace in any way, this grieves the Holy Spirit. So when we put this all together, transformation of our lives is rooted in Jesus, in Christ, in his goodness, in his love, in his holiness, and we live by his grace. And this flow of grace we've read here is from God through faith to others. Grace first transforms our hearts. Then faith receives this and says, yes, Lord, I trust you. Change me. I let go of the old things. I want to put on the new man. And through the changes God creates in us, it produces fruit and grace towards others. So the question is, where are you still clinging to your old self? Where are you trying to do things in your own strength? Where are you giving yourself quick fixes, gratifications? And how could it look like to trust in God instead? To live by grace. I think it's a pretty great symbol we get to experience in a couple of minutes, communion, because we receive communion. And the sustenance of the elements, it goes into our body and changes us. It becomes part of us and changes us. In the same way as the Holy Spirit has been sent to us and changes us. So let's step into communion. I think the worship team comes up. So let us think about what Christ has done for us, what he has done, the suffering that he took on for our sake. So we are bought for God in having a new mind, seeing those things, being enlightened. No, we don't have to go the old way anymore. Remembering that for this sake, for our sake, his body was broken at the cross and his blood was poured out. He was the perfect man, right? And he looked at us in the corruption of our minds and he had compassion on us. He took our sin and all the weight is on our shoulders, our shame and guilt. And he did what needed to be done so we can be free. And when we take communion now, it's also a reminder to put new things into us, to put on the new man, get the good things. And when we take it, it's also a reminder that we cannot do anything for it. We just receive it by grace. The salvation of our souls and the sanctification of our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he broke the bread, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and then said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So for everybody who believes in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, you're welcome to partake in communion and to receive his grace. Come in gratitude for the one who took our sins. So when the band plays a song, make your way to the front, receive the elements from the ushers, go back to your seat and hold on to the elements until we take it together after I've prayed.